From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
And welcome, Disc Golf Addicts. It's the Disc Golf News for the week of June 7, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. A ton of things going on this week. We've got results from the Kansas City Wide Open, plus a preview of this weekend's upcoming Greater Peoria Open. There's a new Disc Golf magazine on shelves this week. It's called, appropriately enough, Disc Golf Magazine. We'll talk with publisher David Henriksen about that. There's also a major financial and business magazine running a story on our beloved sport. More on that. And if that weren't enough, we've also got a lesson in push putting from David Feldberg. It is the Disc Golf News from the PDGA, and it's sponsored this week and every week by our friends at Discovering the World. You can discover them at dtworld.com.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Orders ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
The National Tour was in Kansas City, Missouri last weekend for the KC Wide Open. Results right now, beginning with the Masters Division, where Andrew Back is on a tear. He wins another one, this one by five over Dwayne Steiner. Nick Arbeitman takes third in the Masters. To the Women's Division, where Carrie Burlager flexes her muscles again. She wins this one by a stroke in the final round over a very experienced touring vet, Leslie Herndon. She takes second place, Des Redding in third. To the Open Division, where David Feldberg gets his first National Tour win ever. He wins by four over Cameron Todd. Timmy Gill takes third. Now, Feldberg has finished fourth and fifth at the Worlds in the last couple of years. This might be his year. Tourney official John Chapman said Feldberg pulled off the win despite the pressure of just having come out of his college final exams.
Dave was a little jet-lagged when he got here on Friday. I think he took final exams up in Eugene, Oregon on Thursday afternoon. He got on a plane and got here sometime early Friday morning. And started a little bit slow, at least that's what he said. It looked to me like he was playing pretty well on Friday and Saturday, but he really turned it up a notch on Sunday.
Coming up, a new Disc Golf magazine, but first, time for the 60-second clinic. Last week, professional disc golfer David Feldberg told us about spin putting and what that means. This week, the topic is push putting.
So last time we were talking about spin putting and push putting. Spin putting is, like I said before, when you're trying to gain distance with low ceilings, and long putts, you break your wrist. Push putting is where when you push it at the basket, you do not break your wrist, and you just push it straight at the basket and give it a little lob. So today we're going to talk about the advantages and disadvantages of the push putting. Push putting is, advantage is when you're inside the circle 30 feet, you become a much more consistent player. Your top players in the world, Barry Schultz, Ken Climo, Cameron Todd, they all putt with the push putt because it's very consistent inside the circle. They find themselves easily making straddle putts because they're not off balance, because it's the same putt as a regular putt, one knee putt. They're much more consistent. Some of the disadvantages, though, of push putting is low ceiling, wind. You have to be very confident in the wind to push putt. So you'll have to weigh your options if you'd like to be a push putter or a spin putter out there. But let me tell you, we've been talking around the tour. The future is the kid who can put them together. He can be a spin putter at one point, a push putter at another. He doesn't get nervous about the situation. He just always picks the putt that fits the putt. That's the player of the future.
David Feldberg is a professional disc golfer based in Portland. He was the Open Division champion last weekend at the Kansas City Wide Open. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. In the big picture this week, Disc Golf Magazine. This is brand new, and it's available this week. Disc Golf Magazine is distributed six times a year, and it's available for free. The publisher is David Henriksen.
David Henriksen, welcome to PDGA Radio.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here and talking about Disc Golf Magazine.
So tell us about this magazine. Here's what we do know. It's free, it's bi-monthly, and it's brand new. What else do we want to know?
Well, it's a bi-monthly publication geared toward new players, guys that are just starting out in the disc golf scene. The first issue is 44 pages, about 20 pages in color and 24 pages in black and white. Great photography, interesting graphics, you know, really clean professional design, and it's all available free through disc golf retailers, pro shops, your local events.
So you're distributing it free, and people can get it at retailers or maybe at an event. As we know, there are a lot of disc golf courses and communities that do not have disc golf retailers, so for that player, how can they get a copy?
Well, there's two ways that that type of player could get a copy of Disc Golf Magazine. First of all, they can subscribe to the publication. It comes out six times a year, and $3 an issue for a total of $18 for the yearly subscription. You can sign up for that online through our website at discgolfmag.com. Another great way of getting the publication, if you don't have a place that's already carrying it nearby, is to go to the retailer, you know, that you're buying discs from, and let them know that the magazine's out there. And then we can add them, or they can contact us. We can add them to our distributor list.
Dave, are you doing most of the writing, or can we expect to see some celebrity disc golfers contributing? What's the deal there?
At this point, you know, I definitely, for the first issue, did a lot of the writing, but had some great contributions. I look forward to working with contributors, you know, whether they're that superstar player, you know, that's great. But we're also looking for information from event organizers, promoters, people that have great products or a new service that they're trying to promote. You can look for articles from any of those types of disc golf insiders.
So if we're going to be reading a lot of the material that is going to be written by yourself, give us an idea of who David Henriksen is. What is your disc golf background?
Well, I've been involved in organized disc golf play since about 1994. Traveled throughout the country to play events as both an amateur and a professional player. In 1996, I ran a kind of a fun little online magazine geared toward disc golf called Disc Golfer Online. That website ran for about 18 months. We updated it every month with new content, and that kind of got the bug in me about spreading information about disc golf, and it was really a great way for me to get inside the disc golf scene. In 1997, I started a company called Revolution Disc Golf, which make high-end disc golf bags, and as a result of that, I mean, has been a great way of getting inside the game even further, you know, from a completely different perspective, part of the industry rather than just as a player.
Let me ask you, Dave, we've seen a number of disc golf magazines come and go over the years, Disc Golf Journal, Disc Golf Action. The only one that has been here from essentially the beginning and still going strong is Disc Golf World News. So let me ask you how you feel about your chances of success considering others have tried here and failed.
Well, I think our approach is completely different from those other publications. As a free publication given away to any interested player, I think the sky is the limit for the growth of Disc Golf Magazine. Those other publications, I believe they were all subscription-based, which really required somebody to step up to the plate, you know, put down their $20 or $30 in support of the publication. Plus, the numbers that they got subscription-wise were never really that enticing to prospective advertisers. You know, if you've got 1,500 or 2,000 subscriptions, you know, that's not the type of numbers that companies are looking for when you're asking them to advertise in your publication. The thing about Disc Golf Magazine, for our first issue, we printed 5,000 copies, but really that's a drop in the bucket. You know, we anticipate by the end of the first year having 10,000 copies out, you know, of each issue. And then hopefully by the end of the second year, you know, we might be in the 25 or 50,000 range, which really, because you're not asking someone to subscribe necessarily to the publication, you are really able to give the advertisers a much more interesting story than just having the 1,500 or 2,000 subscribers. Plus, I think the reach of the magazine is going to help bring new people into the game, bring new ideas into the publication, through new contributors, people who love to play but may not be inside the disc golf scene right now. And as a result, I think it's going to take on a life of its own, really. I mean, that's what my experience with Disc Golfer Online, after a certain period of time, you start getting subscriptions you start getting contributions from people that you'd never anticipate getting contributions from.
Well, Dave, thanks for your time today, and we want to wish you good luck. It's always exciting to have another disc golf media outlet available.
Thank you, Brian.
David Henriksen is the publisher of the brand new Disc Golf Magazine, which is distributed 6 times a year for free. For more information, go to discgolfmag.com. He spoke to us from his office in Warrenton, Virginia. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. The touring pros have packed up their Winnebagos and headed to Illinois for the Peoria Frisbee Club's Greater Peoria Open. The tournament director is Wilbur Wallace.
Well, we're in our 20th year now running the Greater Peoria Open. It's been called various things, depending on sponsors and things like that. It's our 7th year as a Super Tour, though. We're pretty proud of that. My dad, old man, ran the Peoria Open for 10 years, and he kind of retired from that so he could concentrate on the United States Women's Championship, and he kind of passed it on to me, so we'll see what we can do there. Old man still had a lot to do with the event, so he's still around.
And who has won this event the past couple of years?
The past couple of years, last year Barry Schultz beat Scott Martin on a two-hole playoff. Brian Schweberger won it the year before by quite a few, several. 2001, it was Al Shaak over Schultz and Martin, so it goes back. And Ken Climo's won it, too. He's won it a couple of times. In the women's division, since we've been a Super Tour of 7 years, Juliana has won it 5 times. The only 2 times she didn't win it, the first year as a Super Tour, she didn't make it. And then we ran a ratings-based event where she placed 6th in the silver pool. So other than that, she's like perfect.
If I'm coming to Peoria for the first time, what kind of course challenges can I expect?
We're playing 3 different courses. They each offer a little bit unique things. Our oldest course in the area, Bradley Park, it went through a redesign a couple of years ago. It's a little bit on the shorter side. It plays about 5,700 feet. It's got a good mix of righty and lefty holes. But the thing about Bradley, there's a lot of out-of-bounds roads, park roads. Don't want to overshoot it. Don't want to have it skip off one way or the other. It could go OB. That's the trick there. McNaughton Park is probably our crown jewel. It plays at 7,200 feet from the blue tees. It's really beautiful with natural fairways, but it's got some very nasty rough. Last year, only 3 of the pros shot under par on that course, so it's a tough one. Northwood in Morton is our newest course. It'll play about 5,900 feet. It's got a good mix of tight wooded holes and some shots out in an old orchard that pretty much become must-deuces. It's got 2 of the best finishing holes I've ever seen on a course. Pretty length, but the big thing about it is they're just very pretty.
Wilbur, what makes the Greater Peoria Open a unique event on the PGA schedule?
I think the biggest thing is the staff that's involved. We always get a ton of our club members to come out and give a hand, whether it's, helping to get sponsors or helping with spotting or helping setting up the course for each day. And they're always out there mingling with all the people. One of the things we do that's kind of unique, between Old Man's Backyard and one of our sponsors, the Sky Harbor Steakhouse, they let us, free camping. You can't beat free camping wherever you go. And we have people that come in, like this year, they're coming in from the Kansas City Wide Opens. They're coming in Monday, staying the whole week for free. So we enjoy that. And this year we have a pretty good players package with a tie-dyed T-shirt and a couple of discs in there.
Wilbur Wallace is tournament director for this weekend's Greater Peoria Open in Peoria, Illinois. He spoke to us from his home in Rantoul. So, what else is going on this weekend, June 12 and 13? Let me share some information, because it's nice to share. In Waco, it's the Waco Charity Open. This one's AMS only. And in Warwick, New York, it's Animal Fest. Say hi to Tournament Director Dan Doyle for us. In Finland this weekend, it's the Helsinki Open. And in St. Cloud, Minnesota, the Riverside Open. Plus, Lincoln, Nebraska, the Star City Shootout. In Lakeport, California, it's Steady Ed's Birthday Memorial. And in Toronto, it's the Toronto Disc Golf Championships. Winston-Salem hosting the Horizons Park Classic this weekend. In Montrose, Colorado, it's the Montrose Open. And in Ottawa, Wisconsin, the Ottawa Park Open. Baraboo, Wisconsin, Baraboo Lions Open, Region 7 Championships in Winnipeg, Club Dead Shootout in Kalamazoo. I just check the whole list, day or night, 24/7, PDGA.com. From the Holy Cow, I Can't Believe That Happened files at the recent Flying Eye Invitational in Athens, Georgia. 15 open players. At the end of it all, 5 of those 15 tied up. Your winner after the 5-way playoff, Ryan Rents. By the way, there was also a 3-way tie in the Masters division there as well. Business leaders around the world recently got an introduction to disc golf thanks to Forbes magazine, which ran a story in its May 2004 edition. Title of the story, Spin Cup, and the subtitle reads, Disc Golf is popping up from Boise to Baghdad. Look for it soon on a fairway near you. A very nice article. It also chronicles the dramatic win by Timmy Gill at this year's Memorial Disc Golf Tournament. That is a disc golf article in Forbes magazine, the May edition. Check that out. And yet a couple more things to bring to your attention. First of all, a heads up on the World Championships this summer in Des Moines, Iowa. Currently 395 players are registered for that event as of last Friday. The important heads up here is for the advanced amateur players. If you want to get in and you're not already registered, you will want to make that happen very quickly because the door eventually will shut and all pools will be full. State coordinators and touring pros, recently you got a ballot to vote for the players of the year, rookies of the year, et cetera, and so forth. Those ballots due next week, June 15th. We would appreciate you dropping those ballots in the mail. And that is the Disc Golf News for the week of June 7th for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. Our sponsors are Discovering the World. They're at dtworld.com. Talk to you next week. Until then, keep them in the fairways.